Good morning. You know, each time they screen a video on lease renewal, I'm always preaching, you know. I'm soon becoming the LSBC Tai Yi Long Alone Shark, you know. Jokes aside, I mean, it is really so encouraging to see generations, young and younger, contributing to the lease renewal because, you know, we truly believe that the Lord wants to want us to continue this work that we're doing in this land. And so, I mean, I'd ask that you prayerfully pray, you know, about how much you want to give also to this effort to really let us as a family contribute to the continued work, you know, in this town through the church. Amen? Amen? Suddenly, I know you're all, many of you are already married, so no need. Okay, can I listen to the Lord in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, I want to thank you for that glimpse of what it will be when we get to heaven. One day, Father, even as a people in one voice, one people declaring that Lord truly worthy is our Lord God Almighty. So, Father, what a privilege. What a wonderful joy and what a glorious hope. Father, even right now, and even as we turn to your word, Lord, we want to ask that, Lord, you will open up our hearts, our spiritual senses, our mind, to listen to what you have in store for us today. Teach us, God. Speak to us. Let your children be listening. Let your word go forth and not return to you void and accomplish every purpose that's been intended in our hearts, in our spirit this morning. For we pray all this in the Lord's most precious name and let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. You know, today we shall return to our series on the values to do good. You know, just a quick recap for the sake of those who are new and not following the series. The theme for the church this year is pleasing God by knowing Him and good works. You know, I've started a series to talk about the values that we ought to grow in order to do good work. As we grow in each of these values, you know, we will be more inclined to do good work wherever we are placed. This is so that we can really live out our calling to be the salt and the light to the world. You know, in the first part of this series, I spoke about the importance of the value of generosity. If we do not have a generous heart, we will always find ourselves tight-fisted instead of being willing to bless others. You know, in the second installment, we then look at the value of servanthood. If we cannot bring ourselves to serve others, how can we be a blessing to them? So these are things that we need to grow in servanthood, in generosity, if we want to grow in doing good and to be a blessing to others. Today, in this third installment of the series, let us look at the importance of the values of kindness and compassion. You know, when we have compassion and when we are kind to others, we will then be a blessing to others. I invite you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 25 to 37. It's going to be on the screen as well, so you can follow. But I'm reading from the NIV translation. A very familiar parable of the Good Samaritan, right? It says in verse 25, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. See, the parable is a very familiar one to many of us. It teaches several important values. Now, today, I want to focus on the values of kindness and compassion. You know, interestingly, this parable of the Good Samaritan, was recorded in Luke 10, immediately after the account of Jesus sending out of the 72. For those of us who are not familiar, you know, just before this passage that we just read in Luke chapter 10, it was recorded for us an account of Jesus sending out the 72 of his disciples to the towns and villages to preach the good news, heal the sick, and minister to the needs. In other words, Jesus sent the 72 out to do good. So it is a timely reminder. Immediately after the disciples went out to do good, Jesus was teaching the disciples the importance of kindness, of compassion. It is a timely reminder, you know, to us that if we want to be impactful to our society, if we want to do good in our society, we need to possess the values of kindness and compassion. What was the setting of this teaching? An expert in the law came to Jesus and asked him what he must do to gain eternal life. Jesus then guided him to conclude that in order to gain eternal life, he need to love God and to love his neighbor. And to love his neighbor, he will need to exercise compassion and kindness. And with this as the background, I want to share with you four things today on kindness and compassion. And that is my roadmap for today. Firstly, let us look at verse 25 to 29 to understand what is compassion, kindness, and deeds of kindness. Right? It's important for us to have a clear understanding of what is compassion, what is kindness, and the deeds of kindness. Then we will look at verse 30 to understand who needs compassion and kindness. Who are we directing? Who should we direct our compassion and our kindness to? Then we will look at the next two verses in verse 31 to 32 to look at some of the things that prevent us from exercising compassion and kindness. I want to share more with you. You know, there are certain things that sometimes hold us back from being compassionate and kind. And finally, we look at the last four verses from 33 to 37 to understand how we are to express our compassion and kindness towards others. So what is compassion and kindness? The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines compassion as a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to elevate it. The Cambridge Dictionary defines it as a strong feeling of sympathy and sadness for the suffering and a wish to help them. So in other words, compassion is not just about feeling for someone, identifying with somebody's troubles and difficulties, but there is also a desire to want to help. So that is compassion. Hence, compassion is being conscious of the suffering and distress of others and also having a desire to help them. Kindness, on the other hand, is defined as the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. It is about being considerate towards others and wanting to help them. That is kindness. You know, because the two words are so similar, right? Kindness and compassion. So I asked ChatGPT, what was the difference between compassion and kindness? And it replied this way, right? Compassion is often driven by empathy and love, while kindness doesn't necessarily involve deep emotional engagement. In other words, for example, you can be kind to others without feeling another person's pain. You can be kind to someone without identifying with the pain. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus was teaching us that we ought to be compassionate towards others. And this compassion then should drive and motivate us to exercise kindness towards them. Jesus is teaching us not just to be kind to others, but he said you need to identify, be compassionate towards them, and this compassion that should drive us to be kind towards them. So these two values is important to be coupled together, you know, so that you know we truly live out and exercise the compassion of Jesus for those who are in trouble, at the same time, to be in a practical way to exercise kindness to them so that they could see the love of Jesus as well. How do we exercise kindness? We can be kind with our speech. We can be kind with our practical actions. in our speech, we can encourage others or at least avoid being unkind and discouraging towards them. Through our actions, we can express our compassion and kindness. These are acts of kindness or good deeds. For example, when we see someone who is unwell, we can be compassionate and note that they are in pain. But this compassion must motivate us to exercise kindness towards them. We can approach the person to check if they are okay and be kind with our words. We can offer to help them, you know, to a place where they can rest or to seek medical help. These are deeds of kindness. So you can see that, you know, from the compassion that we have for someone, it must then drive us towards, you know, kind words, kind actions. And these are deeds of kindness. See, the parable started with an expert in the law asking Jesus how he could gain eternal life. The Amplified Bible elaborated verse 25 saying that the teacher of law was actually trying to test Jesus. He was not just asking him, you know, for his own benefit. He was actually trying to test Jesus. Right? We must understand that this expert in law was not a very ordinary person. He is actually a very outstanding teacher of the law. He had a great understanding, a deep understanding of scriptures. Because you see, when Jesus asked him what was taught in the law about attaining eternal life, he was able to summarize the entire Mosaic law, all the commandments, into two simple commandments of loving the Lord your God and to love your neighbor. So this is a brilliant teacher of law. But Jesus then went on to deliberately use the characters of a priest and a Levite to teach the truth in the Bible about compassion and kindness. Why? He was trying to teach the expert in law that having a knowledge of what is compassion about loving your neighbor is not good enough. We must live that out through our actions. It is not just knowing in your head that you need to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. It must translate into a compassion and actions towards kindness, towards others. To love our neighbors, we must have compassion. We then need to act on this compassion. This is exercising kindness through deeds of kindness. The knowledge in our heads must translate into a change in our hearts. And the compassion in our hearts must then move our hands towards kind deeds. This is the call of the Lord to all of us. You know, to better illustrate this, imagine you see an injured bird in a park, when you walk in a park, right? Your head will process that, you know, the bird's wings are injured. And if no one helps it, it will fall prey, you know, to a stray cat, a stray dog, or other predators, right? Our compassion will make us feel sad for the bird. But only when that compassion moves our heart to act, to help the bird. Otherwise, you'll remain just a compassion and will not translate into a kindness or a deed of kindness. Hence, let us grow in our compassion. And let that compassion drive us towards deeds of kindness. We need to grow in both. Now that we're clarifying what compassion and kindness are, let us move on to look at who needs compassion and kindness. Look at verse 30. Verse 30 was describing one of the key characters of the parable, the injured man who was robbed. Right? He was robbed. He was stripped of his clothes. He was beaten up, left there to die. So let's look at the example to understand who needs compassion. But you know, when we think of people who need compassion and kindness, we often think of the weak. We are often led to believe that only the weak require compassion and kindness from others. We often think that it is weak when we hope for someone's kindness and compassion. As a result, sometimes, you know, when we do need help, we need someone to encourage us, we don't want to admit it. Why? Because we think it is weak when we admit that we are in need of someone's help. So I think today, I really want us to understand that, you know, being in need of help, being in need of kindness, being in need of someone's compassion does not make you weak. It is an important truth. All of us need someone's kindness and compassion at different stages and seasons of our lives. And that does not make us weak. You know, in the Bible, there are many examples of Jesus exercising compassion and kindness. He had compassion on a centurion whose servant was sick in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. Go back and read the story, right? The centurion was not weak. He was someone who is in power. He was not weak, but he pleaded for Jesus' compassion on behalf of his servant. And Jesus healed that servant. But the centurion was not weak. Jesus had compassion on Mary and Martha when he knew that their brother Lazarus had died. Jesus felt the deep need in Mary's and Martha's heart, you know, for someone to be compassionate towards them. They were broken and in need of Jesus' compassion. And Jesus had compassion on them. And in fact, he wept over the death of Lazarus and brought Lazarus back to life. So these are examples of someone who is not weak and needed compassion. Example of someone who is deeply in need of compassion and kindness from Jesus. It shows a wide spectrum of who really needs compassion and kindness at different stages of their life. And Jesus had compassion on also many others. He had compassion on the 5,000 disciples who had traveled to listen to his teaching. It was getting late and they had nothing to eat. He then demonstrated kindness by multiplying the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to feed them. There were also examples in the Bible of others honoring Jesus with kindness and worship. But was Jesus weak? No. Mary Magdalene washed Jesus' feet and anointed him with precious perfume, even though Jesus did not need that. The young boy provided the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, although Jesus did not need those for the miracle. Jesus was not weak, but Jesus received the kindness and the honor and the worship from others. So all of us need compassion and kindness at some points of our lives. However, today we want to go back to our anchor passage to see who are the ones who often needs compassion and kindness. And we should be mindful then to reach out to these ones. From the parable, who was the man who needed compassion and kindness? The man who was robbed, isn't it? So what did he need? Firstly, at that moment when he was robbed, beaten, and all, there was great physical needs. There was great physical need. And it symbolized some people who actually sometimes, you know, we should look out for people with physical needs, and they are most in need of our compassion and kindness. Verse 30, it says, a man was going down from Jerusalem when he was attacked by robbers. He was attacked. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him. He was injured. He was stripped of his clothes. He lost all dignity. And they left him there, half dead, abandoned. The man in the parable was in great physical need. He needed someone to tend to his injury. He was in need of conveyance to a place to recover. He needed financial help for these things because he had been robbed of all his possessions. He had many physical needs. And we too can have physical needs at different stages of our lives. Some of us are blessed with many possessions and finances, while some of us do need help. Some of us may constantly struggle with a lack, while for some of us, these needs can be temporary. For example, when we lose our job suddenly, you know, with that temporal situation put you in financial need, and that financial need is more pronounced. When we are sick, our dependence on others for help will be more obvious. When we have young children, you know, we are so relieved when someone else can come and look after our children for that one evening so that you can sleep, right? When we are overwhelmed with so many requirements at work, the colleague to come and help you is like God sent, you know. He is God sent, right? So all of us need help, need someone's kindness at different stages of our lives, and it is okay to receive help. At the same time, we as a people of God should learn to be on the lookout for people around us who need physical help. And these are the ones that we should learn to exercise compassion and kindness towards. What else? What else did the man who was robbed and beaten symbolize? He was someone who was wrong and abandoned by others. He was all beaten up, wrong, abandoned. Other than being a man in great physical need, the man who was robbed and beaten, you know, he was going through, I'm sure, great emotional distress as well. How could someone, how can a human being do that to a fellow human being? Rob me, beat me, leave me there to die. He would have felt so wrong, abandoned by a fellow human being. You know, some of us can be wrong or betrayed by others at some juncture of your life. Some of us have experienced abandonment in our lives. When we are wrong and we are abandoned, we go through great pain. When someone comes along and tries to understand what we are going through, lend a listening ear or to lend a helping hand, that is a kindness that will not be easily forgotten. Many of us will go through periods whereby we need the emotional support. We will also come across others who will need emotional support at a certain stage of their lives. So be open to receiving kindness and also be generous in extending kindness, not just to people in need of physical help, but also to people who is in need of the emotional support, especially when they're going through abandonment, hurts, and being wronged. The man in the parable was not just robbed. He was stripped of his clothes and left there to die. The robbers did not even preserve his dignity, leaving him to die naked. You know, when we are bashed left, right, center, the last straw is when we are so crushed that even our dignity is being taken away from us. This is when an assuring voice of encouragement will bring great healing. So today, let us be reminded to look out for people around us who might need our compassion and our kindness. We're going to look out for people who need their physical help and their emotional support. Maybe some of them really need that encouraging voice in a time like that. And will we be compassionate and exercise kindness at that moment to them? We're all very serious today, huh? Hey, turn to one another and say, don't be so serious, come on. Hey, I'm serious. I turn to each other and say, no, don't be so serious. You know, I get very scared when you're all so quiet. You know, I always wonder whether I said something wrong or something like that. You know? Okay, you're with me? Let's move on. Now we have defined compassion. We look at who needs compassion and kindness. Let us look at some of the things that prevent us from having compassion and exercising kindness. What are the reasons why? You know, we all know it is good to be compassionate. We all know it is good to be kind to someone else. But why? Why we don't do that? Why are we not doing that? Let's look at verse 31 to 32 to look at, you know, the different characters in the parable to understand what are some of the things that prevent us from being compassionate and kind. I think none of us will dispute that we should be compassionate and kind. But most, if not all of us, will agree that maybe even in our own lives, we can demonstrate more compassion and kindness in our lives. So what prevents us? In the parable, there were three characters: the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. We saw that the priest and the Levite did not have compassion or exercise kindness to the dying man who was robbed. Why was that so? Let us look at them one at a time. The first reason I want to submit to you that sometimes that prevent us from being kind is what I call the mind your own business syndrome. Mind your own business syndrome. You know, we in the parable, the priest and the Levite saw the injured man but chose to pass by. There could be various reasons why they did so, but I would imagine that one of the reasons why they're taught to themselves is that, you know, it's okay lah, mind my own business. Somebody else will help. Somebody else, the road is passed by many people, right? Somebody else would help. Does that sound familiar? Sometimes when we come across a need, what do we say to ourselves? Yeah, mind my own business. Don't worry lah, somebody will help. Somebody will be there for that person. He won't be left there to die. What will happen if all of us think that way? The person will never be helped. What if every one of us, or every one of them behave like the priest and the Levite? The man will be left there to die. You know, we ask ourselves, you know, what if we are being tricked? What if we are being scammed? What if, you know, it is at the expense of my own personal safety? I would imagine that the priest and the Levite would think that way because after all, that road from Jerusalem to Jericho was notorious for being a dangerous stretch. And in fact, we saw how the man was being robbed. Indeed, it was a dangerous stretch. In our culture, we tend to pass by those who need help because we rationalize that and that we should mind our own business and let somebody else do it because they will definitely help. We always ask ourselves, we always tell ourselves to do that and to tell ourselves to mind our own business. And today, I want to tell you, it is okay to be capable at times. All right? Turn to your neighbor, say, it's okay to be capable. Come on. For the younger lot, you know what's capable? No? That means mind people's business, okay? It is okay to be capable at some time of our lives and we see somebody in need or maybe the person needs help, let us learn not to put that aside to say my own business, but instead to say maybe. You know, maybe I should be capable and ask what is going on. That's the first thing. What else? What else can prevent us from being kind and compassionate? Legalism and societal norms. You know, Bible scholars explain that one of the possible reasons that the priest and the Levite did not help the injured man was because they feared ritual impurity when they did that. See, in those days, under Levitical law, they would be deemed ceremonially unclean if they touched a dead man. So they were not sure maybe that whether he was dead, and if you go near, they touch him, they will be ceremonially unclean, and they could not carry out their religious duties until they are ceremonially cleansed. But Jesus pointed out that this was legalism, and it was wrong to use that as an excuse not to help someone. In Luke 6, in another account, the Pharisees were looking to entrap Jesus when Jesus, in that account, was healing a man with a shriveled hand. Jesus asked the Pharisees in verse 9 then, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? He was pointing out that not extending help to someone in the name of religious practice is legalism. And legalism displeases our Lord Jesus when following religious practices are at the expense of extending critical help to others. Likewise, the priests and the Levite were concerned with ceremonial cleanliness more than the life of someone. That is an extreme example, but you know, Jesus is trying to bring up sometimes in the name of legalism, in the name of religion, in the name of societal norms, we can ignore the help that someone needs. Sometimes we are more concerned with norms than somebody's need for help. When someone is crying or hurt, are we concerned with what others will think of us when we approach the person to help? Maybe they think that we are the one who makes the person cry. Also, in our culture, it might seem that, you know, we are intruding when we approach someone who is crying to ask if they need help. Even in church, we can rationalize that we should leave maybe a weeping brother or sister to a leader to pray for them. Only leaders can pray for them, right? And even though when we see no leaders around them. Why is that so? That could be our version of legalism. Of course, there are certain boundaries that we do not cross. You know, if you are a guy, do not go around, you know, hugging another lady who is crying and rationalize that you're extending your compassion. I will make sure I'll show you my lack of mercy if you do that, all right? But I'm sure you get my point of not letting legalism or societal norms hold us back from extending help and compassion when we need to. You know, the other day I was crossing the road and I saw a pregnant woman struggling to cross the road with a young child, and she was heavily pregnant, and through my experience of being a father of four, she's at least 8 months pregnant. Taiwan, trust me when I say I know, I got four times the video. Eh? Yeah. So she was heavily pregnant, struggling to bring the young child, maybe 2 to 3 years old, across the road. Then I thought of maybe I should go forward to help, at least walk the child across the road. But I hesitated. I then asked myself, what if the mom think that I'm trying to be funny, you know? To steal the child or something like that. And then I say, what if people think that I'm actually the father to the one? And worse still, I say, what if somebody across the road is a church member and they see that maybe I got another wife? So by the time I finish thinking, what happened? She's across the road already. You see? So I think all this thing about, wow, societal norm, what if people think this and think that? And as a result, I lost the chance to extend kindness to someone else. See, when Jesus taught on healing on Sabbath and the parable of the Good Samaritan, he was teaching us to understand the compassion of God and exercise the compassion instead of conforming to unkind norms and practices even on our society. So that's the second reason why sometimes we don't help society norms for fear of it. Third reason, sometimes we don't help or we don't exercise kindness and compassion because we are not willing to pay the price. We're not willing to pay the price, and as a result of that, we're prevented from exercising kindness. In verse 34 to 35 of the parable, we were told that the Samaritan paid the cost of the inn and the care extended to the injured man. It cost him 2 denarii. 2 denarii in those days was worth 2 days' worth of wages. You know, that is quite a bit to pay for a stranger you have just met and saw in need of help, to pay 2 days of your wages to help the person. He even promised to pay the additional cost of caring for the injured man to the innkeeper when he returned. In verse 25, he put the injured man on his donkey, giving up his own convenience because he probably had to walk instead. These were all personal costs to the Samaritan. And sometimes we refrain from helping because there are personal costs and we are not willing to pay the price. It could be a financial cost. It could be at a risk of getting into trouble. And when we do so, sometimes we cannot imagine the impact it can have on someone's life when we are willing to pay the price to help someone. You know, I've shared my personal testimony several times, but maybe those of you newer to the church, you might not have heard that. You know, I was quite a delinquent youth when, you know, before I knew God. And one of the many troubles that I got into during those days was that one day I turned up in school drunk to disturb a girl guide's camp. We say, yeah, war. I spent the night drinking with friends and I knew there was a girl guide's camp going around. So I said, oh, quite fun. I'll go and disturb girl guides, you know, at night. So I went back to school drunk, you know, and disturbed a camp. And the next morning, I was called into the principal's office. And I remember standing in front of my principal and my discipline master, who was also my Bible knowledge teacher that morning. I do not know whether I was more embarrassed to see my principal or to see my Bible knowledge teacher, who was also my discipline master. You know, in those days, we needed to choose a subject on religious knowledge, and I chose Bible knowledge, even though I was not a Christian then. And because, you know, those days, I figured out that among all the different classes, I think Christian girls are the prettiest, so I better go that one. Christian ladies here, say amen. Amen or not? Why, you're a bit more shy. You know? This morning when I asked them, wow, so loud, you know? Amen. Yeah, so okay, that's not part of the whole story. I went there because, of course, the girls were supposed to be more pretty, right? Anyway, that morning, my principal was furious and told me that, I'm going to call your parents, and because I'm going to expel you from the school. He was serious. He was, because that was not my first offense, of course. But that one was really the ultimate one already, like come back to school drunk, right? But I was prepared for the worst, but something miraculous happened. My discipline master, who was supposed to be enforcing the discipline, he pleaded on my behalf to the principal. He knew that I was a delinquent, but he pleaded for me. He managed to convince the principal not to expel me and told the principal that he would mete out the punishment instead. To cut a long story short, the principal relented. The discipline master just got me to do some community service as a punishment. You know, that day, I experienced the compassion and kindness for my discipline master. You know, that surprised me so much because there was great personal risk, you think about it, to the discipline master. What if I did not turn around and ended up doing something even worse, right? After all, you already reached the stage of coming back to school drunk. What can you not do beyond that? What was the reputational risk to the discipline master? How would he answer if he were to ask why he pleaded for me then and let me off, leading me to commit a more serious offense later on? You know, that incident impacted me so much that eventually I gave my life to Jesus in the church. You know, remember I was taking Bible knowledge, but I was not a Christian. But that incident impacted me so much because I was so inspired by the Bible lived out that I studied the Bible hard even for my own Bible knowledge. You know, I really went to discover this God behind someone who can be like that, you know. Initially, it was to demonstrate to my teacher that his kindness would not be in vain, but I eventually found the God behind my teacher's compassion in those scriptures. And I ended up topping my course in O-levels for Bible knowledge, right? You know, anyway, you can imagine that shock, right? That day when, you know, when they announced, you know, that I was top the school in Bible knowledge, and I'm being walked up to the stage, right? And all my friends who were in the school all know what kind of human I am, right? Like, I walk up and talk in Bible knowledge. I remember that when I came down the stage, my Bible knowledge teacher, who was my discipline master, walked over to me, clearly very proud, and congratulated me. I think he was proud because he knew that his kindness has turned someone's life around. Not just because one of his students topped the thing, right? There must be a student who topped. But I think he was proud that a delinquent's life can be turned around through his kindness and compassion. I could become who I am today because of someone's compassion and act of kindness then. So do not hold back from exercising compassion and kindness, because we really do not know what the small act that you do, how the small act you do can impact someone's life for the greater good. Are we willing to pay the price in order to exercise compassion and kindness? You might never know what kind of impact our willingness to pay the price will have on others. But I guarantee you, the Lord will use your willingness, multiply it, and change somebody's life. Now that we've spoken about the things that can hold us back from having compassion and exercising kindness, let me move on to the last point on how we can exercise compassion and kindness towards others. Let us look at, you know, we have looked at what the Levite and the priest do to learn what can prevent us from exercising kindness. But let's look at the third character, the Samaritan, to learn what we must do in exercising compassion and kindness. Verse 33 to 37. There were four things that the Samaritan did. And we can learn to do these four things to exercise kindness. What are they? Firstly, see the need. Verse 33a, see the need. The Samaritan walked past. The Bible says the first thing that he did is that he saw the man. He saw the plight of the man. This might sound easy to see a need. But you know, sometimes in our busy lives, we can fail to see those who are really in need, even though they can be right in front of us. You agree with me? Sometimes we can see, but not see. We can see the person and not see the need. We can see the person, but we do not see the pain. Sometimes we see or we can ignore it. Do we see people when they are stressed? Do we realize when people around us are hurting or fearful? Do we see people around us having practical needs? Do we see the needs, or are we oblivious to them? If we want to express our compassion and our kindness, we need to learn to be more aware of others' needs. We need to ask God to help us to be more sensitive to these needs so that we can offer to help. You know, this is a big step. You know, when someone is hurting or in need, having someone come up to them and ask them how they are doing, and if we need help, it is a big thing for someone who is hurting. Hence, this is the first thing that we need to do. See the needs around us. Ask God to help us be more sensitive to needs around us. That's number one. What's the second thing that the Samaritan did? In verse 33b, he says that when he saw the man, he saw the plight he was in, he took pity on him. We need to have a compassion when we see the need. Have compassion when we see the need. So it's not just enough to see the need, but seeing the need must move our hearts to move our compassion. This is important because even if we see a need and have no compassion, it is likely that we will not act. However, having compassion is not something that we can conjure up ourselves, but we can ask God for compassion. We can ask God for compassion because God is the God of compassion. Ask God to help us not just to see the need, but to move our hearts, to move our compassion. Third thing, in verse 34, what did the Samaritan do? He saw the need, he had pity on him, he then acted on that compassion. He went to bandage the wound, he poured oil, poured wine over him, and acted on the compassion. So we see the need, we have compassion, then we must act on our compassion. That's the third thing we need to do if we want to exercise kindness and compassion. When we see someone in need, what do we do? It's not just about going to them and say, oh, poor thing, I hope you are okay. No, these are empty words. We are sometimes guilty of saying them as well. Even as Christians, we are guilty of doing this. We just package it better. What do? We go to someone who is in difficulty. I say, poor, poor thing, oh, I'll pray for you, okay? Do we really pray? Or is that lip service? Do we just pray and do not act on anything to help? So it is not good enough to have compassion. We need to act on our compassion. So we need to do this, right? See the need. Have compassion, act on our compassion. And the fourth thing we need to do is to pay the price if we need to. In verse 35, the Samaritan paid 2 days of his wages for the innkeeper to care for the injured man. He then underwrote the further care given to the injured man, promising to pay back, you know, come back and pay the rest. The Samaritan paid the price and exercised kindness. Are we willing to pay the price to care for someone else when we need to? If we are able to do these four things, truly, then we can be the salt and light to the world, to the people around us that the Lord has called us to do. See the need, have compassion, act on our compassion, and pay the price even when we need to. This is what we need to do. Let me conclude with the call by Jesus in verse 37 for us. Jesus said in verse 37, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Jesus taught through the parable the importance of compassion and kindness. He then called us to emulate the example and to do likewise. You might be wondering how we can exercise kindness. We don't come across someone who is dying or needing rescue like the Samaritan did. Maybe we do not have the resources like the 2 denarii to help someone else. Maybe we have not reached that stage of generosity in our lives to be willing to promise the innkeeper that we will come back and pay the balance just to help a stranger. Exercising kindness and having compassion on those who are in need doesn't need us to be helping in big ways all the time, like the Samaritan. We can come across people with little needs, and you can be kind, even through little deeds. Exercise kindness. We will come across people in need of their encouragement. We can exercise compassion and kindness to encourage the person. Jesus also taught that we can be kind with little things, and these are important to him. Let me leave you with the reading of a short passage from Matthew 25, verse 34 to 40, and I pray that you receive it in your spirit when God is calling us to be kind and compassionate towards others. It says in Matthew 25, verse 34, it says, then the king will say to those on the right, you know, he's talking about separating the believers to the left and the right. He said, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When they will see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you. When they will see you sick or in prison and go to visit you. Then the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." These are the words from the Lord. Jesus did not say that we need to save someone's lives to be exercising compassion and kindness. It is the food that we can provide. It is the deed of kindness to give a drink when you need to. It is clothing someone who needs it. It is visiting someone when they need it. This is compassion and kindness. And this is doing unto the Lord. So this is the call of the Lord for us to go and be the salt and light to shine for Him, even through the little things that we can do. In kindness, in compassion, you will shine forth for the Lord. As I conclude and ask the worship team to just minister and prepare to minister to us, you can put aside the notes. Let me conclude by sharing another personal testimony of how someone's compassion and life changed, and kindness changed my life. You know, there was another unforgettable incident during my delinquent teenage years. You know, that few years was really, I was quite something. You know, I was arrested by the police on one occasion at the Woodlands checkpoint, you know, for trying to smuggle pornography from JP to Singapore. Not something I'm very proud of. You know, for those younger members here who are wondering how could someone smuggle pornography. In those days, pornography was not available in the internet. There's no such thing as internet. It was reproduced in these things called videotapes, you know. And I tried to smuggle some of these tapes from JB to Singapore. The thing was this, you know, those tapes were not even mine, you know. You know, it belonged to a friend who chickened out at the checkpoint. The gang hold me and just say, give me the bag. I took the bag and I walked across, you know, the checkpoint. They opened up my bag and I was stopped and arrested. You know, I was interrogated inside the police station for 2 hours, you know. They were recording my statement and I was so sure that I was done for. I was in deep trouble with the law. Then suddenly, the police officer then asked me, "What are you doing nowadays? What are you doing? Are you studying or not?" I say, yeah, I am actually a student. I was sitting for my O-levels that year. He then tell me, "You do funny things like that when you should be studying for your O-levels." I say, yeah. You know, of course, better yeah, right? It's like you still try to talk back some more. Then he say, "Okay, stand up, go." What? Then don't do this kind of silly things again, go. Why? At that moment, I really do not know whether to go or not. I run away after he take out his pistol to shoot me or something. Right? So he's like, "Wow, but never mind, zao, quickly walk out." And then don't know what happened, walk out. Wow, but walk out, and then my friends all waiting outside. Wow, walk out like a hero, right, actually. But inside there, I was so afraid. What actually happened? I was let off because the police officer had compassion for me and exercised kindness. You know, he saw my need and had compassion and took the risk to let me off, actually. The act of kindness resulted in a very different trajectory for my life, of course, together with that episode of not being expelled from school, all within that few months, you know, of my life. You know, without that act of kindness, I would have paid the price of running afoul of the law. I would not have been able to join the civil service with a track record like that, you know, and have the career that I have in life. I would not have ended up maybe as a pastor if that officer had not acted in kindness that day. One small act of compassion and kindness, but it changed a person's life totally. Hence, do not underestimate the power of our compassion and acts of kindness. You know, today we have spoken at length about compassion and kindness. These are important values if you want to be a blessing to the people around us. Today you have seen through my testimonies how an act of kindness can change the life of someone. There'll be many people around us that need their compassion and kindness. Maybe they are the ones with physical needs. Maybe they are the ones who need someone to come alongside to encourage them when they've been wrong, discouraged, and knocked down. We need to learn to put aside the things that prevent us from extending kindness and having compassion. We need to worry less, maybe, about what people will think of us when we reach out to help. We can choose to pay the price if we need to, because it might go a long way to help someone in need. So see the need, exercise the compassion, act on our compassion, and pay the price if we need to. And when we do that, we are then truly a blessing to others. And through our compassion and our kindness, we can shine for the Lord Jesus Christ in doing good and to be the salt and the light to the world. Let the Lord use our willingness to exercise kindness to touch someone else's life. And we know that will bless the heart of the Lord as well. Amen. Just invite you, maybe at this juncture, put aside your nose, maybe close your eyes and bow our heads, and just I want to give you some time to process what I've been spoken about, and let the Holy Spirit, you know, challenge our hearts, move our hearts to be more aware. Maybe some of us today need God to touch our eyes so that we can see the needs of someone else more. Maybe for some of us, the Lord needs to move our hearts to be more compassionate. Maybe the Lord needs to move some of our hands to be more willing to help. Maybe the Lord needs to move some of our hearts to be more willing to pay the price when we need to. But one thing is for sure, our Lord is a compassionate and a kind God. And the Lord has called us to go and do likewise. I'll go off the air for a while. I just believe that the Holy Spirit is here and is speaking to some of us. Let the Holy Spirit speak. Father God, we pray that today that you will move our hearts, you will touch our eyes to see, move our hearts to be willing to help, move our hands to release blessing when we need to. Teach us, God, as a people, the people of the Lord, to reflect the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, one who is always compassionate, who is kind, who is willing to love us enough, to compassionate enough for us to go to the cross. Teach us, Lord, to shine for you in every way that we can, to every person that we come into contact with. Teach us, God, to preach the gospel with our actions and our hearts, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is what we're going to do. I'm not going to ask you to respond to the altar call. You know, it's very interesting that those of us who are following the 40-day fasting and praying, you will come across SP's video this week. We know that we did not coordinate, but, you know, I thought it would be quite appropriate to screen that. You know, he was talking about how we need to learn to love, you know, our community. I think it's important for us to look at that. Maybe later we'll end off today's service by spending some time to pray together for each other, you know, that we learn to exercise kindness, compassion, not just for our community, for wherever we've been placed. Let's screen the video first, right?
When I was little, my Sunday school teachers taught me that Jesus is my good shepherd. The words in Psalms 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd," are etched in my heart. It has been comforting in my discipleship journey to date to know that Jesus is shepherding me as an individual. It is comforting to know that Jesus My shepherd loves me, cares for me. I know that my shepherd died for me and he has given me eternal life. I feel that his love and care for me is an exclusive one. It is about me and Jesus. Then as I progress in my discipleship journey, I learn about Jesus, the shepherd of the church. Christ loved the church and died for the church. It is about Jesus and us. And subsequently, I was also entrusted to shepherd Jesus' sheep in my local church. He appointed me the under-shepherd, and he held himself out as the chief shepherd of the church. You know, the church is a community of believers, like a flock of sheep, that receive love and care from the chief shepherds and the under-shepherds. The church community actually is a happy place where believers can do life together with joy. The church community is a place of safety where members find protection in the chief shepherd. Then there came a time when Jesus directed my attention to the neighborhood community, existing outside the church community. It has always been there, but I didn't notice it. Neither did I care about it. The people in the neighborhood community were invisible to me. Eventually, I did start to look at the neighborhood in obedience to God's direction. The Lord must have opened my eyes to see people in a new way. I saw the people in the neighborhood community as sheep without a shepherd. Unfortunately, while Jesus was moved with compassion for them, I personally had no feelings for the people in the community. And the words of Jesus in John 10:16 came to my mind. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there'll be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus considers the people in the neighborhood community as his sheep that are not in the church community yet. He wants to bring them in. He loves and died for the people in the neighborhood community. In other words, Jesus cares for the neighborhood community. Can the church also love and care for the neighborhood community? Do we care for and love people in the neighborhood community? And to love and care for people is to shepherd and pastor them. So the call is for believers to turn Singapore Godward, block by block. The blocks are situated outside the church. It will take the whole church to reach a whole community. Each church community will have to go all in to accomplish the task of bringing in the sheep from the neighborhood community into the fold. Above all, it will take all the churches in Singapore to reach out as one to all their neighborhood communities in Singapore. We must go all in if we want to see Singapore turning Godward. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our good shepherd. Touch our eyes today and help us to see the people in our neighborhood community. Impart to us your compassion so that we will be moved to love and care for them like you do. Unite us as one as we take up the task of winning the community block by block. We do not want to hold back. We want to go all in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Then the expert of law asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Now, SP, of course, was talking about the neighborhood around the church, but I think today we have heard, you know, the word of God that the neighbor, our neighbor, is everyone that we come across who needs that help. So let us respond to the Lord today. I thought maybe a good way of ending this, I know, you know, that we are about 5 minutes from one. I want you to pair up. Okay, instead of praying for the other person, why don't you pray for yourself? And in the witness of another one, to say, Lord, today, give me that compassion. Move my heart towards kindness So, you know, so that I can, you know, through my actions, my compassion, my kindness, could be a testimony for you. Whether in our community, in the blocks that you go to, in your offices, in your friends, let us be the testimony, shall we? Come, let's pray together. All right, maybe spend a couple of minutes, then we'll come back and close the service. Not a believer, it's okay. If you're not a believer, it's okay. Just bear with us for a short while, right? Hallelujah. Yes. Okay, we'll wrap up our prayers in a short while and we'll close the service. For those of you who are done, just encourage you maybe right now to stand and let's respond to God in this closing song, to ask the Lord to truly move our hearts so that we can go out there and truly be a blessing to those who need the kindness and compassion of God, shall we? Let's worship the Lord. I'm going to close the service, and at the end of the service, if any one of you need prayer, the pastors and the elders will be here to pray. You know, for those of you who are sick, who need the prayer, those of you in the need, you know, maybe you're struggling with something in your life right now, you need someone to stand with you, to pray with you, come, we'll pray for you. You know, if some of you really feel that you need to respond, have someone to pray for you to today's sermon, you come after the service. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you that God, you are a compassionate and kind God towards us. And because of your mercy and your grace and your compassion and your kindness towards us, that we, Lord, we have been made, we have turned from sinners into the children of God. From eternal damnation, Father, into a glorious promise and hope of a future with you in heaven, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your kindness and your compassion for us. Lord, today, even as we hear your word, Father, we ask that, Lord, you will truly move our hearts and move our hands to go out there to be the salt and the light to the world that, Lord, you have called us to be. Let us not hold back, but truly know that, God, even through our actions, through our compassion, through our kindness, the Lord, we will shine forth for you. That people will look at our lives and say that truly God is good. Truly God is alive. Truly God is a good God. And they will give you glory because of what you will do through our lives. Move our hearts, move our hands to shine forth for you, God. Lord, even right now, Lord, you bless us with the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit today and forevermore. For we pray all this in the Lord's most precious name. And let all God's people say, Amen. Let's praise God, shall we? Hallelujah.